Cutting the Curd has been brought to you by Academy Opus Cassius. The Academy Opus Cassius is the cheese industry's unique center for professional development, offering both practical and classroom training in the heart of France. For more information, visit academy-mons.com. That's academy-mons.com.
I'm Linda Palaccio, host of A Taste of the Past. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Cutting the Curd, broadcasting live on the Heritage Radio Network. This is your host, Greg Blaze. Today, I'm very lucky to have Cutting the Curd founder, overlord, chairperson, and general directorial capacity lady, Ann Sachs, will be in the booth with me today.
Hello, Greg. It's good to be here.
We love it when you're here. Today's episode is all about raw milk cheese. in honor of Raw Milk Cheese Appreciation Day on Saturday, April 18th, which is this Saturday. And on the line, I have a couple of special guests to talk about this topic. I have Jeannie Carpenter of the Cheese Underground blog. How are you, Jeannie?
Very good. Thank you.
And I have Brad Jones, Program Director of the Cheese of Choice Coalition, the organization spearheading Raw Milk Cheese Appreciation Day. Thanks for coming on the show, Brad.
Thanks for having me, Greg.
It's my pleasure. So, Brad, we're going to start with you, and I wanted to you to tell us a little bit about the Cheese of Choice Coalition. What is the history of that organization, and how did Raw Milk Cheese Appreciation Day come to be?
Sure, Greg. Well, I'm happy to. The Cheese of Choice Coalition is a nonprofit advocacy and education organization that supports artisan raw milk and traditional cheese. The program is relatively new, as of last summer, actually, but it was originally founded in 1999. As many in this community will know, at that time there was a great deal of regulatory uncertainty in the U.S. regarding the future of raw milk cheese. You know, well, were they going to ban raw milk cheese outright? Were they going to amend the 60-day aging rule? If so, what would it be, 90 days, 120 days? It seemed to many that there was an unjustified full-court press on a style of cheese that's been produced and quite frankly, proven safe, both intuitively and scientifically, for 100 years, even more. So in 1999, a group of prominent individuals in the cheese community came together with the idea of just really rallying support of raw milk cheese, and they outspokenly advocated for the right to produce it, to sell it, to consume it. The original iteration of the Cheese of Choice Coalition was a partnership between the American Cheese Society, Old Ways, the Cheese Importers Association of America, and also Whole Foods Market. And it was spearheaded by Kathy Strange of Whole Foods and Ruth Floyd as NACS president, and Deborah Dickerson and the late Daphne Zeppos. And then Kathy, Ruth, and Sarah Bayer, Senator of Old Ways, kind of remain at the helm today. But
those are some heavy-hitting gals, man.
Yeah. That's right, yeah. No, I mean, these are people that have supported raw milk and traditional cheese for a long time and continue to do so today. But, I mean, in 1999 and in the early 2000s, after a lot of general drum beating over several years, things were more or less successful, and a lot of that had to do with creating a unified front and just making sure their voices were heard. Plus the fact that, the data just didn't really validate in any way justify a ban on raw milk cheese. So they kind of died out, But that brings us to today, and as of last summer, the summer of 2014, it was becoming increasingly clear that these concerns really weren't going away after all, and certainly not in their entirety.
Someone's always trying to poop on our parade, aren't
they? An imminent threat per se to raw milk cheese, the regulatory uncertainties most certainly persist. And it's really not so far-fetched, especially with the kind of recklessness we saw out of the Woodboard aging fiasco last summer. So this past summer, the original partners got together and said, "Hey, you know, we need another voice in this fight. We need another sign of strength, of solidarity, of general support, and try to get back to beating that drum." So that's what we're trying to do, Greg. The Cheese of Choice Coalition exists to support artisan raw milk and traditional cheese.
And so, Raw Milk Appreciation Day, is this the first one then, or was there one last year?
No, this is the very first one. This is the inaugural.
This is so exciting. Well, that makes me feel better, because I was like, if there have been many of these and I didn't know about it, I feel like a real jerk. But
I'm getting fired.
Many more to come, though.
Yeah, I'm firing myself. So can you tell us a little bit about what you guys have planned for the first Raw Milk Appreciation Day? Where can people, what kind of events are planned? How can people find out about them?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So as you mentioned, Greg, Raw Milk Cheese Appreciation Day is going to be taking place this upcoming Saturday on April 18th. And it is an international celebration of raw milk cheese, designed to highlight not just, you know, the glorious cheese itself, but all the fine folks who make it and sell it and serve it, all of you guys. So yeah, there are going to be events taking place across the United States, but also internationally at hundreds of producers, retailers, restaurants, 4 continents and 13 countries. So it's super exciting. But most of the engagement is going to be targeted sampling of raw milk cheese at retail stores. But also there's going to be local cheesemakers coming by to taste out and talk about their product. There'll be classes planned, pairing events, open creamery tours, discounts.
There's lots of stuff going
plates on. It's all super exciting. And Italy,
we're going to have
a list on the Cheese of Choice Coalition website. If people are interested in what's going on in their neck of the woods, that would be a great place to start.
No, we're going to do some stuff in Italy, both in New York and in Chicago. We have a raw milk cheese appreciation class set up. We've got some demos going on from raw milk cheese producers in Chicago. You know, and there's going to be me. They're just going to unclothe me and have me run around in La Piazza and with only a wedge of cheese taped to my groin so that I can, if that doesn't get it done, I don't know what's going to get it done.
Ladies and gentlemen, don't miss the running of the naked cheese man in the Piazza, Italy, this Saturday. It's a new tradition, Greg. It's beautiful.
Well, that's fantastic. Well, also, we were hoping you could kind of tell us about your background in cheese and how you got to be attached to this organization, you know, of the Deborah Dickersons and the late Daphne Zeposes of the world.
I claim no true level of those amazing people have just done so much for cheese and the artisan cheese community in the United States for the last decades, but
think like that. You're doing it.
well thanks. But for me, I mean, it's one of those things. I think people just kind of fall into cheese, right? So that long and winding road that leads you straight to here. I moved out to Boston in 2011 actually to get a degree in food studies, and I was coming from Indiana, which isn't exactly a gourmet mecca. And certainly not in terms of cheese. You know, Kraft Singles and Velveeta and Cheese Whiz is good cheese. Although, you know, of course, now I understand the Capriole and Jacobson and Bridgeford and all these other great folks are making wonderful cheese there. But I didn't know that then. And then I moved out to Italy for a little while and learned about great cheese. And then when I moved to Boston, I was looking for a job to go along with the gastronomy, the food studies program, and I got a job at Formaggio Kitchen, which is an absolutely fabulous cheese counter where, you know, honestly, it's a surprising number of people in the cheese industry kind of get their start there. It's really kind of
amazing. Yeah, Formaggio really has the lockdown on people who work in Boston and live in Boston. I mean, they are a far-reaching organization that has put many, many folks out in the cheese world, you know. They've been doing their thing for a long, long time.
Yeah, no, it's phenomenal. But I think part of it is it's hard not to kind of fall in love with cheese when you're around it all day, every day, when you're surrounded by those mountains of, you know, Conte and Parmigiano Reggiano. It's really hard not to be super passionate about it.
Totally. See, I wasn't good enough to work at Formaggio. I had to work at Savonore's, you know, and in my parallel existence in the cheese world. You know?
Savonore's has a great cheese counter for sure.
Yeah.
Increasingly so, actually. But I mean, I think behind the cheese counter, I kind of fell in love with cheese and really enjoyed sharing these stories and these kind of labors of love with customers, and kind of getting them fired up about cheese too. And, you know, the regulations and advocacy stuff kind of came later on. But, you know, as I became more knowledgeable about the challenges that the industry was facing, I think I've been an advocate since, at least a big proponent of artisan and raw milk and traditional cheese since day one.
Now, can I ask you a question? I know that, and if you don't feel comfortable speaking to it, that's fine too, but can you talk a little bit about the climate now with raw milk cheese and regulation and what the FDA is up to at the moment? I know that, there was kind of a pilot sampling program that was taking place for different cheeses, and, as much as you'd be willing to share your knowledge on that topic would be great.
No, of course, yeah. The pilot sampling program is interesting. It's been going on for the last year and a half, or something like that now. And it's taking place at retailers and producers and at customs. You know, it's really kind of across the industry. But what's happening is the FDA is coming in and taking cheese, and you know, it's kind of anxious for a lot of the people that are in the cheese community right now, which is again one of the logics to why this Raw Milk Cheese Appreciation Day was so timely for it to be starting this year. Is let's promote raw milk cheese. Let's talk about it in a positive light. I mean, personally, and I think as an organization too, I think everybody is really. We think that the pilot testing program is a good thing. You know, I think at the end of the day, what's going to happen is they're going to find that raw milk cheese just really isn't something that needs to be taking a lot of their time, because it's going to show to be healthy and hygienic and safe.
It isn't going to be, proven to be the deadly menace that,
I certainly don't think so. You know, I certainly don't think so. I think they'd have to be making some numbers up for that to be the case. But
did you find it difficult for people to participate in Raw Milk Cheese Appreciation Day? Were people willing to get involved?
Oh, people were so excited. People have been so enthusiastic. My job over the last several months has been absolutely amazing, because I just get to get on the line with people and say, hey, we're doing this thing. We're trying to rally support for raw milk cheese. We want you to basically show off all the amazing cheeses you carry, or all the amazing cheeses you produce, and all the amazing cheeses you import, or whatever. And so people are like, yeah, I can get behind that. No problem. So yeah, we have hundreds of producers and retailers and restaurants all across the country and the world.
That's awesome. Well, you know, we have another guest on the line. Jeannie, how are you? What's going on? We were hoping you would talk a little bit about your blog and, maybe talk a little bit about the Wisconsin cheesemakers and, and the cheese shops that are participating in Raw Milk Appreciation Day. I just read your post about Mareki, who I interviewed last week, who is just like a phenomenal human being who makes wonderful raw milk cheese. So maybe, Jeannie, you could talk a little bit about your blog and, what Wisconsin cheesemakers and cheese shops are participating in Raw Milk Cheese Appreciation Day.
Sure. I've been writing a blog called Cheese Underground since 2006. And I started writing it when I was a public information officer for the Department of Agriculture. And I started writing it anonymously because, when you're a spokesperson, you're not allowed to actually have your own opinion on anything. But after I left the Department of Ag, I put my name on it, and I've been writing it ever since. And it's interesting because in anticipation of this program today, I was going back to my blog, and on July 15th, 2009, I wrote an article about raw milk cheese in Wisconsin. And, that was 6 years ago, and it's interesting that we're still sort of fighting all of the same issues that we were 6 years ago. It's interesting. In Wisconsin, so we have about 25 cheesemakers in the state making raw milk cheeses, and those are mostly artisan and farmstead companies. They're on the smaller to medium size. And three of the past six U.S. Championship Cheese Contest winners have been raw milk cheeses from Wisconsin. So I think Wisconsin, Wisconsin's got it going on with raw milk cheese.
That's fantastic.
Absolutely. And do you feel like there's more of a movement? I know Wisconsin's an interesting state because there's such a history of kind of, you know, I feel like the history of Wisconsin cheese up until maybe the past 15, 20 years was more of like a larger scale production, more, you know, quasi-industrial. And so do you think there's more of a movement towards raw milk cheese? And are you seeing new raw milk cheese makers sort of popping up in the state?
I would say yes. And it's interesting because a lot of the new cheese makers that we see coming online are, first of all, women, and they are second or third career type folks, and they are usually milking sheep or goats. That's kind of the growth trend in Wisconsin right now, and I would agree with you. Definitely in the last 10 years, we have actually successfully transitioned from a high production commodity state to more of a specialty cheese state. You know, we still, don't get me wrong, we still make a lot of commodity cheddar and mozzarella because everybody's got to eat pizza, right?
you got a lot of milk out there.
Right, yep. But really the folks sort of putting Wisconsin in the limelight these days are, you know, the Marika Gouda, the Pleasant Ridge Reserve, the Avalon goat cheese. You know, these are all farmstead artisan cheesemakers. And that's really, I think, you're seeing the future of how Wisconsin is going right there.
Well, I was just thinking about something. So an interesting, you know, you mentioned Pleasant Ridge Reserve. I feel like one of the most sort of bold moves that I've seen in terms of, you know, raw milk and the regulatory climate and everything was the fact that Andy Hatch decided not to produce Rush Creek Reserve last year for the holidays. You know, do you think that, do you think that other cheesemakers might follow suit and kind of, you know, back off of making certain types of cheeses or err more on the side of, you know, making harder aged cheeses that are less subject to scrutiny? Or do you have an opinion about that?
You know, I unfortunately do. I think that might be the way that we're headed. When, when Andy decided not to make Rush Creek Reserve back in August of last year, I talked to him, and he wanted to make sure that people knew that this was his choice. The FDA hadn't told him he couldn't do it. You know, he hadn't been, you know, cited for anything. It was really his choice because there was so much, and still is, uncertainty over how the FDA is going to regulate raw milk cheeses. And at that time, I kind of deemed it as Rush Creek Reserve, the demise of Rush Creek Reserve as the canary in the coal mine. Because, you know, Rush Creek Reserve is just this amazing raw milk cheese that took Andy Hatch, you know, who was a best in show American Cheese Society cheesemaker. It took him a couple years perfect to make it, to get it to 60 days without, you know, completely falling apart. I've always held that cheese up as, like, you know, the amazing raw milk American cheese that can compete with the great European raw milk cheeses, right? And to have that, you know, be taken away from us is just really it makes us frustrated and angry. And so many people have said to me, what do we do? Do we sign a petition? You know, do we send Andy, you know, support letters? So what it did is, and Brad mentioned before, you know, the wooden board issue. Between the wooden board issue and the raw milk issue and, you know, Rush Creek Reserve not being made, there is very much this groundswell of consumer interest in raw milk cheeses, and they want to do something. And that's why I'm so excited about this Raw Milk Cheese Appreciation Day, is because we're giving consumers the chance to have a voice.
So you have to chime in about Rush Creek Reserve. Andy's a good friend of mine, and I know how much toil he put into making that cheese. And I just think he's a brilliant guy because he didn't make the cheese for many reasons, in my opinion. And I feel like it'll come back.
I think it was more of a political statement.
I believe that it might have been on a touch, you know what I mean? Because that's a difficult thing to make. Do you know what I mean? And even when when there weren't, or when the screws weren't as tight a couple of years ago, or when they were all asleep at the wheel at the FDA or whatever the hell it is that they do there. I mean, all the good things that they do there. I'm sorry. I promised I wouldn't. I would be nice. You know, and it just, I had a feeling he might not make it that year. You know, I did. But I think it's, I think that I agree with you, you know, that, that's such a visible cheese, and Andy is such a visible cheese maker. Uplands, when Andy, you were speaking of, you know, some cheesemakers in Wisconsin that sort of are maybe changing the way cheese is made in Wisconsin by certain people. I mean, Uplands and Mike Gingrich prior to Andy, you know, those guys really started that whole thing in a certain way, in my opinion. And maybe, Jeannie, you could agree or disagree with me on that. But, yeah, I was bummed out when that didn't come. I mean, maybe I got one in the mail. I'm not going to say, but, you know.
Hey. I'm hoping that cheese comes back. That used to be my holiday centerpiece. Every time, when I was a cheesemonger, every time, you know, as the holidays come around, we get to take home one big chunk of cheese, whatever you want, right? And so there's all these great cheeses all across the board that you can choose from, but every year is for me. Rush Creek Reserve, doubt about it. Just pop off the top, have some, you know, some fresh bread right beside, and you got yourself a delicious meal right there.
But why is Jasper Hill not stopping to make Windermere in the same way?
Yeah, I think, well, can I chime in?
Yeah,
I feel
please.
Like, you know, they, I feel like, you know, Jasper Hill is an interesting, you know, player in this whole sort of situation that we're in. And they, I feel like more so than other cheesemakers are really, maybe not more so, but to, I guess I have to be careful here, but to like a greater extent than most cheesemakers are able, are putting some serious effort into a lot of testing right at their facility. They've built a lab at the Cellars, and they're doing a lot of sampling of milk, of cheese,
absolutely,
of their environment. And so I feel like, you know, maybe with that as kind of like some bedrock, you know, knowing that they're doing all that testing when it's not called for right now, and they're developing their own database of what's in their milk and what's in their environment, and just really keeping tabs and making sure everything's above board all the time. Maybe that makes the cheesemaker feel more secure about producing a cheese.
And maybe what you're like talking about is the danger of a farmstead cheese, raw milk cheesemaker, you know, not being able to put their product out there for fear of all of these bad things not happening, as opposed to artisan makers like the Jasper Hill, you know, who buy their milk from other sources and bring it into their wonderful facility and make it. They, you know, they just might have a leg up, you know?
Right. And I'm not sure if Windermere is made with their milk or with purchased milk. I know that they make certain cheeses only with their milk,
yeah,
and others with milk that they purchase, but I feel like, you know, I'm hopeful about a couple things. I mean, I'm hopeful about things like what's going on at Jasper Hill, and just kind of more testing in general, because I feel like a lot of this raw milk sort of paranoia is based on the lack of scientific data.
Absolutely.
That points conclusively in one direction or another. And so it's very easy to just make an enemy out of raw milk when you don't know enough about it. So I'm hopeful that, you know, that this FDA pilot testing program, and that folks like Jasper Hill and all the other great cheesemakers who have their cheeses and milk and facilities, you know, tested regularly, and have samples taken, you know, that that will eventually lead to a body of evidence that, you know, declares raw milk innocent in a way.
Absolutely. You guys agree with that?
Absolutely, Greg. I think that the self-regulation that Jasper Hill is doing specifically, it kind of gives them a sort of like courage of conviction, of the fact that they're holding themselves to the absolute highest standards, higher standards than even is required of them, because they know that's what it's going to take in order to consistently produce, you know, a raw milk product of the absolute highest quality. I mean, of all the cheesemakers in the United States, you know, Jasper Hill Farm is certainly up there as far as being recognized for their raw milk cheese product. I mean, speaking of Windermere, it won the American Cheese Society Best in Show last year, right? You know, I mean, that's a pretty, and then Bailey Hazen just this year won that great award for being the best raw milk cheese in the world or whatever. So it goes to show that the kind of self-regulation, that really holding themselves to that highest standard, pays off at the end of the day.
Yeah, I'm just playing devil's advocate and asking questions because I feel like their quality control over the last 2 or 3 years has like exponentially grown just as a purchaser on a retail level of all of their cheese. I just was wondering. I just thought it was an interesting point because, you know, Andy stopped making the Rush Creek, but Windermere is still out there, you know, so.
There's still hope.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, to ask everyone a silly question, I mean, I guess, Brad, you've already maybe answered it, but a favorite raw milk cheese? Does anyone, I mean, I know, and it's hard to say favorite, but if you had to point to one exceptional raw milk cheese that you think everyone should know about out there, Jeannie, does anything come to mind?
Well, I suppose I should pick something from Wisconsin since I live here, but.
Damn straight, you better.
My all-time favorite raw milk cheese is still Comté from France. You know, it's when I first got into the cheese business, you know, I tasted that cheese and I was like, okay, you know, cool. But then once you start, you know, reading the history and reading the make practices, and especially, you know, I at Metcalf's Market, I bring in the Essex, the Marcel Petit Comté, and it's just one of those cheeses that makes you happy, you know? There's nothing like it.
It's true. There's nothing like it.
I agree.
I hate to reiterate, but I mean, for me too, my favorite raw milk cheese is certainly Comté as well. But I think that's also one of the reasons, and I'll go ahead and cite one of your Wisconsin cheesemakers that we've been talking about, just Uplands Dairy. I mean, Pleasant Ridge Reserve, kind of made in that same Alpine style with those, like, the hard, crystalline, nutty flavor profiles as the Comté has, and for the same reason, just absolutely delicious with, you know, with the highest quality, the best production practices of available, you know, just absolutely being in total. I mean, Andy Hatch is just a total monk about it. I mean, he does everything to the highest standard of perfection that he can do, and it shows in the quality of that cheese.
I feel, for me, I don't know. I guess I'll go for a twofer as well. For me, the raw milk cheeses of like the raw milk goat cheeses of like the Loire Valley and Poitou regions of France are like, you know, they're just like. Make me so happy. It's like hard to put it into words. But a raw milk cheese that I've really been enjoying from around here lately is the Humble Herdsman from Parish Hill Creamery. I think that cheese is pretty exceptional. And the fact that it's made from raw milk and then the cultures are, you know, their own sort of proprietary house propagated cultures adds a level of kind of nuance and complexity that for me is just really exciting.
See, Essex Comté, you know, when you visit the fortress, like, Essex Comté for me is like breathing, you know, it's it's transcended cheese for me. I visited the fortress, I talked, Jason Hines is one of my good buddies, and just the agricultural circle, the circle of life, as cliche as that sounds, that cheese and everything that it is supports, I think is wonderful. And it's almost unfair for me to say that it's my favorite cheese because it might be my favorite food. I think I lived off of a block of like, I had like a 12 pound block of it when I worked for Essex because I had no money. But I did have cheese, which was a better currency than money. So outside of that, for me, I love Vacheron, true Vacheron when I can get it, and it's so fleeting and wonderful, and it tastes like the woods around my house, and it reminds me of when I was a little kid, and you know, I was less vulgar and more pure, and things were looking up for me. But my favorite raw milk cheese, my favorite, if you held a gun to my head, would always be Artigasna cheese, Pyrenees cheese.
Oh, wow.
Those Basque shepherds. I mean, those dudes and gals, they know what the hell they're doing down there, man. They just do. And that fudgy texture and consistency. And wonderfulness and its appeal to all palates is good for me. But
amen. Amen, Greg.
Well, Jeannie, I wanted to talk just a little bit about your blog. We're going to have to go on a break. We go super long, which I love. I just want to force all other shows off the radio and just keep talking about cheese. But we're going to go into a break. But I wanted to, you know, you recently wrote on your blog about Mariki Penterman, and I interviewed her. And I wanted you to tell us what that was like to speak to her. And because she spoke to us about her participation in the festivities going on with Raw Milk Cheese, Raw Milk Cheese Appreciation Day next week. So what was it like to talk to her?
You know, I've known Marika for a long time, and she's a really, really good cheesemaker. But what I didn't know, or maybe what I didn't know the extent of, was is what an awesome mom she is. And that's what I wanted to write about her. She and her husband, Rolf, built this brand-new facility just this year with a new cheese-making facility and farm where you can watch the cows being milked, watch the cheese being made. But upstairs, this is a two-level facility. Upstairs, she has the most amazing place built for her five children to come off the bus every day and to do homework. And they each have their own stool, and it's color-coded. And she's bringing in a high school student 3 days a week to help them with homework, because all moms out there will know that once your kid reaches about fourth grade, you can no longer help them with math. it's past our you know, I'm an English
I might cut
major
myself off at second grade. I don't know, after times tables, that might be it for me.
See, my mom was a math teacher, and yeah, it sucked, okay? but anyway, no, go on, please.
I was really excited for her to show me sort of that more intimate level of this new family dairy, where the upstairs is really dedicated to keeping the family together, you know, after school, and it's also surrounded by all these family photos of her as a little girl in Holland, and pictures of her grandmother milking cows. And so it helps you remember the folks who came before us, and, you know, the journeys that they have experienced and the roads they've paved. And it's a great place, great way to honor sort of the great cheesemakers that are in our time right now and the ones that have come before us.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And with that, we will go into a little break. And when we come back, we will continue talking to Brad and Jeannie about Raw Milk Cheese.
You are listening to Kill Me in the Summertime by Dead Stars. This is Cutting the Curd on HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Welcome back to Cutting the Curd. I'm here with Ann Saxelby, the wonderful Ann Saxelby.
Hello, Greg.
And we're talking to our two guests about raw milk cheese, Brad Jones of the Cheese of Choice Coalition and Jeannie Carpenter, cheesemonger and blogger of the Cheese Underground. I think the Cheese of Choice Coalition website summarizes the issues around raw milk cheese real nice with 3 points. Raw milk cheese has the most flavor, it's healthier for you, and when made well and cleanly, it's very safe to eat. So I just want to know, Brad, what, you know, the nuts and bolts, why is raw milk cheese important? Like, just cut through, you know, the Cheese of Choice Coalition, just tell me why we need raw milk cheese.
Oh, that's good, Greg. Raw milk cheese is super important. I guess you guys had Marika on last week, and I think she really kind of emphasized the health component, the nutritional reasons, and, you know, like the healthy vitamins and minerals that are present in raw milk that have shown to be otherwise damaged by heat treatment. I think she also talked about probiotics and cholesterol. And I think everyone has different reasons for loving raw milk cheese. You know, maybe it reminds them of a gooey camembert they had in Normandy, right? As Anne said, or maybe they want to support rural economies. Maybe they want to keep people on the land, and value adding dairying is such a great way to do that. I think for me, though, personally, it's really 3 things, and not exactly the same 3 that you mentioned, but really taste, tradition, and at the end of the day, choice. Raw milk cheese are just absolutely delicious. You know, they're full flavor, they ripen fully. It's just really incomparable. They got that terroir component, that true taste of place that comes through from those microbial ecologies that are, you know, legitimately derived from the place in which they're born. This is something that we've intuitively known for as long as anybody's been eating and loving raw milk cheese, but it's cool that there's a lot of rigorous science supporting the fact that this is actually the case. But also tradition. I mean, there's 1,000 years of history behind raw milk cheese making. Before 1930, almost no cheeses were pasteurized. I mean, it wasn't even called raw milk cheese. It was just cheese, you know. And as we've been saying, many of the most classic, most famous cheeses in the world are required to be made with raw milk in order to earn their PDO status. You know, I'm thinking of Comté, I'm thinking of Le Gruyère, I'm thinking of Parmigiano Reggiano, I'm thinking of Roquefort. There's a reason that they're required to be made with raw milk, and it's about protecting the quality and tradition of the product. But finally, it's also about choice. At the end of the day, it's also about choice. It's about having the option, you know, to choose your cheese of choice. That's where our name comes from. You know, whether those of us who understand and believe in the importance and deliciousness of raw milk cheese will have the opportunity to continue to make them, the opportunity to continue to eat them, you know, without having to fly to France.
And Jeannie, what about you? What is raw milk cheese to you? Why is raw milk cheese so important?
Well, for me, it's about the taste more than anything. Because whenever I, you know, if I teach a class about cheese, I talk about cheese, I always make sure people have cheese in their mouth, because you can talk about cheese all day long, but the minute that you taste it, it changes everything, right? One of my favorite quotes was from a friend in France who spent about a year in Wisconsin studying Wisconsin raw milk cheeses. And I just looked this up, and this is what she said. She said, "You don't eat cheese because you are hungry. You eat it for the pleasure." I think that really sums up why we all want the chance and the choice to eat raw milk cheese.
Beautifully said.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Gosh darn it, you two are good.
We need you to come back every week, so you're going to have to schedule us in Mondays.
Same time, same place.
Yeah. I have one last question for you, Brad, because we're pushing up against the limit of what the Heritage Radio will allow us to record on. What changed? What changed after the 30s?
Why, who, where?
You say that all of these cheeses were made using raw milk up until the 1930s. What changed after that?
What changed was industrialization. We had a we had more people to feed, and people were moving to cities, and so less and less people were making, we had dairy farms, less and less people were making cheese, farmstead cheeses in their own backyard for their own consumption. So as people moved to the cities, less people are making cheese, and people, so you start seeing the industrialization of cheese making. You see the pooling of fluid milk for the cheese making process. You see it coming from several farms. You see it sitting around for an increasing amount of time. And these sorts of things lend themselves to pasteurization and certainly do not lend themselves to the production of cheese with raw milk, because raw milk needs to be super fresh, it needs to be super clean, it needs to be turned into cheese really very rapidly in order to ensure the safety of the product. And so, I mean, it was in the 1930s, and I mean, fluid raw milk was starting to be pasteurized at the end of the 20th century, end of the 19th century, so like the 1890s, but you start seeing it with raw milk cheese in like the 1930s, but yeah, a lot of it has to do with just had to feed more people, and the only way to ensure on that kind of scale that the cheese was going to be safe and healthy for you was by pasteurizing it.
So what it sounds like to me is that you are not against pasteurization on some levels. You just don't want, you know, them to pasteurize everything and take away all our good raw milk cheese. Would I be correct in saying that?
That is exactly right, Greg. That is exactly right.
Well, hell. I suppose I can agree with that as much as I don't want to. No, seriously, and I think it's important for people to know that there are no black and white issues here. Pasteurization came about for a reason, and if you have a large cheesemaker and you're in a large industrial cheesemaking facility and you are not, say, have a personal relationship with who gives you your milk, pasteurization is absolutely necessary for you. But there's no need to take away the farmer's ability to take the milk out of their own cows and make cheese, especially not someone like Marika, who has a cow massage program going on that I learned about last week, where I wanted to go and get rehab, you know, at the freaking farm so I could get someone to just brush me down and like rub me for a little while.
And help with your homework.
And help with my homework. All of those things. Well,
that sounds great.
I need help with everything. My homework, my rubbing, my massaging, everything. Well, I want to say thank you to Brad and to Jeannie for coming on and taking time to be on us on the show today with us. And always, I like to thank Anne to come in. The shows are always so much better when she's here, and because she helps me sound like
no
Lisa
way,
a moron.
No way, Greg. You're the best.
And thank you to our little producer, Emily Acosta, and our wonderful engineer, Liz Smith, who is giving me the thumbs up out there. So this Saturday coming up, get out your raw milk cheese on, grab a massive hunk of it, you know, look it up on the internet, find out who's participating, and go and stuff your face with raw milk cheese and learn some stuff. Would I be right in saying that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Amen, Greg.
Yeah.
Well, right on. And I want to thank you guys again for coming on, and stay tuned next week for another episode of Cutting the Curd. Take care.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.